This week on the Digital Marketing Scoop, we're talking with Cleona Moynihan and Rena Hagerty from Oversee, all about marketing the business from startup to scale up. Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Digital Marketing Scoop. This week we're talking with Rena Hagerty and Cleona Moynihan from Oversee. Hey guys, very welcome to the podcast.
Thanks a million. Thanks for having us.
Rena, if you want to kick off there and just introduce yourself and a little about Oversee and what you do there.
Yeah, so my name's Rena Hagerty. So I am the CMO at Oversee. So we're based in the South Mall there, just above Republic of Work. So what we do is, ultimately our mission is to help public venues deliver a clean, safe, secure, and service-rich environment that's without compromise. So how we do that is we, you know, there's a lot of talk about frontline workers. We digitize frontline operations. So eradicate a lot of the complex paper-based manual processes. You know, we all know the check-in at the back of the toilet door. So what we do is we digitize that and ultimately helping to improve communication, collaboration, connect often disparate workers, improve productivity. But on the management side, then it gives them complete transparency of their data at frontline operations in real time. So to make more data-driven business decisions. So ultimately helping to get better control of costs, ensure compliance, you know, with safety regulations, and ultimately deliver the optimal customer experience.
This is a really interesting time for you at the moment. So I would imagine.
Definitely. I mean, for us, it's a bit of a weird one because, like, in terms of our markets at the moment, it was like a light switch. It's all of a sudden, it just has turned off because every public venue and facility is closed. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's difficult for us now, but it's actually accelerated our market after this, because where we found ourselves in the market is, like, frontline workers are probably the workers that are most left behind in terms of digital transformation and technology. So, like, last year, I think it was the one area of tech that was growing. It was like 30% year-on-year growth enabling tech to the frontline. So, but it's still a very young, immature market. So we've spent a lot of our time educating people on the value of empowering these people with frontline workers technology. Whereas now what it's brilliant for us is all of a sudden frontline workers are, everyone knows what a frontline worker is. And everyone now is understanding the importance that technology can have, the role they play, even, you know, just the importance of all frontline operations like cleaning, hygiene, all those things that might have been taken for granted before. So it's going to have a major impact for us and accelerate our market, but it's just, we're in this window now where we're desperate to kind of get those public venues back open again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how, for certain businesses, this will probably be, when once we come out of it, a massive catalyst for them.
Definitely, yeah.
So and it does sound like definitely your industry is going to be one of those where that will be the case. I suppose taking a step back from where the situation we're in right now, just in terms of how you went about or how you are going about overall marketing the business from a point of view of, I think it's a smaller company, to kind of under 50 people there, is it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's about 40 people, I think, total. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say your backgrounds, I think, would have been like Dell and SolarWinds and these bigger companies with, I'm sure, crazy marketing budgets. So how did you tackle the challenge of marketing a smaller business?
I'll leave Cleona take this one because you're in the thick of this, Cleona.
Well, I think one of the biggest things, obviously, is budget is very different. You know, when you're in that corporate world, it almost feels like, you know, you can kind of just start with budget and then work backwards, you know? So I think what we found is you have to be so much more agile. You have to really think about what you're going to prioritize. You know, it's been really interesting, and particularly at the moment, because I think, you know, a lot of times in the corporate world, you can be really kind of like stuck in a strategy and stuck in like kind of a messaging framework. Whereas, you know, we've been able to just like flip our messaging on a dime because we're a small and agile team and we can kind of figure that out as we go. So yeah, I think that's one of the key differences. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I suppose that is from you know, you probably had a big chain of command to get through before you could make changes. Whereas now it's like, we need to do this. Let's get it done right now.
Exactly.
I think that's actually one of the biggest differences I've seen always between working with a large company and a small company is the ability to adapt. And you always think it's going to be the big companies that will have the ability to adapt the snap of the fingers because they have the budget for it. But actually the chain of command really slows marketing down in big companies, I think.
And one thing I've noticed though is 100% agree on that. It's like the ability to like course correct and just adapt quickly. But it's funny, what I notice is like a lot of other startups or scale-ups or smaller businesses who can be that agile, it still doesn't mean you're going to get it right. Like so many people now are, especially with COVID, just, which is brilliant, offering their tools for free where it makes sense. But everyone now seems to jump on the bandwagon. And I think where people, some companies have lost their way is by all of a sudden focusing on COVID-19, how can I create noise? How can I still be seen and heard? Rather than constantly staying true to, okay, what do my customers need? What has changed for them? So, you know, for us, we were about to take that leap to say, okay, offer us up for free, get it out. And then we suddenly stepped back and had conversations with our customers and realized that wasn't what they wanted. If it made sense to help them, we obviously would, but it was more on a targeted basis. So I think that's where you got to be careful, is not just get too swept up in the speed of things and constantly stay close to what am I actually trying to do here and what do customers care about and what's going to be relevant for them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I suppose you do. Obviously, everybody at the moment is trying the best they can to help their customers. But you still don't want to do that to the point where it's almost to the detriment of your own business as well, or your own core values or whatever it might be. Everybody still needs the business to function correctly. We can't just be like, here's everything for free. Because you know, it's only sustainable for so long basically. But it is nice to see though, everybody kind of trying to help in whatever way they can. Or a big, small, whatever it might be.
Definitely, yeah.
So guys, just in terms of, would say, kind of specific marketing tools that you're using maybe at the moment or maybe before this all kicked off, any particular marketing tools that you found really, really useful?
I'll let you take this one, Cleona. There's probably, you have opened my eyes to the amount of tools that are out there that are at our disposal that are free. So that's the biggest learning I've gotten.
Yeah, again, back to that adaptability. You have to figure stuff out. So I think our main piece of software that we're using is HubSpot. It's our CRM, Sales Hub, Marketing Hub. So it's we're using it as our marketing automation tool. So everything is coming through there. It's our single source of truth. So email, social, paid social. Our SEO strategy is built into that too. And it's been really great for us to kind of, you know, have everything in one place. I found, like, as you say, in the corporate world, you can have a little bit of tool sprawl. So like, you know, your marketing automation software might necessarily talk to your sales software. And then you've got like 50 other things that are plugging into it. So it's been great to have everything sitting under the one place. And it's helped kind of connect us a little bit more with the sales team because they're using the same software. So we're all learning it together, which has been great. I think kind of other tools then that we're using, funny, we at the start of this year decided we were going to start running webinars and we had to do a lot of research on kind of what software we wanted to use. So we went with the Zoom, which now I feel like since this has all kicked off has become like the biggest player in the market. But for us, one of the things that we were really interested in was the fact that you could project it out onto say Facebook Live and YouTube Live, which I thought was really interesting because you can kind of amplify your content beyond say whoever was registered on your webinar. So that's been a really great tool for us. Other things then, like Rena said, a lot of free tools are out there that people aren't necessarily aware of. So kind of in a startup, you know, you're not going to have like 50 teams to do things for you, particularly like a graphic design team. So I found Canva has been an excellent resource. Like we've just used it so heavily for a lot of things we've done. And I've actually stolen a few from following you guys. So Unsplash has been a great resource. And what else? Oh yeah, and Pixabay has been great. So we're in the beta with Canva for their video creation. Pixabay has been great to get stock video as well. And there's quite a lot on there that's been really useful. And then we'll convert that, say, to GIFs through Easy GIF and stuff like that. So a lot of the tools we're using are free because, you know, we're just trying to be lean, you know?
We started testing a new one recently, Jen. Was it Veed?
I was just like, Can't wait to talk about it.
So, I know, like, tell us.
It's crazy how things change, though, because, like, for the if you've watched any of my stuff for the last few weeks or our stuff, I'm like, use Capwing. I've been singing Capwing's absolute praises for video creation. Stop using it. Use Veed. There's a new one called Veed. VEED.io, and it's just fantastic. But the main core difference that I find between it and Capwing is that it's the same price, first of all, but also it exports everything in much higher quality and has just a much wider array of tools and doesn't really crash as often. It's never crashed for me, actually. So it's a really, really, really good tool, but I'd highly recommend it if Capwing wasn't quite working out for anyone after all my talk.
So are you captioning videos and stuff with Veed now, is it?
Yeah, you can caption your videos. It'll also do the subtitles for you. Or you can download your SRT file from YouTube and re-upload it into Veed as well. And it'll do everything from shadowing the text to making it all capital letters. You can just flick. It's just a click of a button to change the whole styling of it, and it's a really, really good tool, worth checking out for sure.
Definitely, I'll have to check it out. Cool.
It's on the list.
It's on the list.
It's a long list, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. And where, in terms of your marketing budget at the moment, guys, where is that focused mainly at the moment? Are you doing a lot of offline stuff as well, or are you focused mainly on all the online platforms?
This has probably shifted. There's almost like before COVID-19 and then after.
Yeah.
Like currently, I would say we're in a phase of we've cut all spend currently because, you know, there's no market there currently, you know. So, and then when, you know, we're keeping a close eye on the, you know, the phases to kind of start bringing that back. So we're doing a lot of content creation at the moment. So really trying to be creative at the moment with no spend. But before that, like, where we were spending our budget and prioritizing it is ultimately what we want to do is build awareness of Oversea, start getting noise out there and have Oversea be seen as a thought leader in our space. So where we actually have predominantly pushed majority of our budget spend was to creating compelling, relevant content. So we recently did in January a survey to over 1,000 plus frontline workers to kind of understand how they feel valued, the tools they use to really like give them a voice, because there's not a lot of data out there. There's data out there talking about from management on, you know, frontline workers and empowerment and technology, but there's no one's ever really asked the frontline workers. So we did that and we got amazing data back, and we're building that into two research reports. So a lot of it is focused on content, because ultimately I think no matter how many campaigns you run or whatever digital marketing campaigns or strategy you run, if you don't, to me, content is the key and it has to be relevant and compelling. And then once we kind of have that content roadmap, it's then looking at ways in which we can push that out. But because budget, it's about prioritization, we've probably put more emphasis on spending and creating content and then trying to utilize more free channels to kind of get that out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great strategy. And as you say, look, the old saying, content is king, definitely, I think, does hold true. One interesting thing we found in the past few weeks is obviously we're producing a lot of video content. I actually started advertising during this because advertising rates across YouTube, Facebook, all of them have just gone way, way down. So it is very interesting in terms now of if you have all this great content, okay, now is actually a very good opportunity to get in front of the people you want to get in front of at probably a much more reduced rate than it was 2 months ago. So there's definitely opportunities there. But again, as you say, it is to focus on the content. A sales message right now is worthless.
And and that's what like we've been doing a lot of work on is because as well, another point to that is people are at home now, maybe not be working, maybe, you know, a bit less busy or might have a bit more time now to actually do research, engage in more content, yeah. you know, which I'm finding even I have a bit more time to do. So that's why, Cleona, you've done a lot of work in this. There was almost like this period where there was nothing we could do, no matter what. We were a bit quiet because we felt from talking to all of our customers and talking to our target market, they were in absolute panic mode. I mean, they weren't even able, they were just trying to keep the lights on, survive. Yeah. But now in the last 2 weeks, we've seen, like, you know, there's talk of the new normal. People are starting to see light at the end of the tunnel and starting now to say, right, what do I need to do to get back open? What are the things I need to be aware of? So, Cleona, I mean, you've done a huge amount building and reshaping our content roadmap and our content strategy for that.
Yeah, I mean, everything has completely changed. I think, you know, as you say, there's the pre-COVID content strategy, which has kind of been pushed aside a little bit, and now there's post-COVID. So for us, I think one of the key things with Overseas that kind of differentiates us in the market is our real investment in the frontline worker. Like, you know, our CEO, very interesting guy, was a frontline worker. He, you know, at the ethos of the company is this idea of empowering that frontline worker. So a lot of our content is really based around helping companies figure out the best way to keep people safe, you know, kind of how to utilize technology to be smart, you know, that kind of idea of, say, just-in-time operations. You know, you don't need to clean a toilet that's never used, whereas if you have IoT technology, you can clean the one that's, you know, actually getting, you know, open and close the door a couple of times or what have you. So our content strategy is really pivoted to kind of look at that frontline worker piece. What do they need right now while things are in panic mode, and what are they going to need when we reach that, like, kind of new normal? Like, nothing's ever going to go back to how it was before, so we need to figure out how to make sure that those guys are safe and empowered and enabled, you know, when we kind of reach whatever, you know, kind of normal we do reach.
Do you envisage the technology you have, we'll say, obviously you're saying we're focusing on the frontline worker, but, you know, as we say, the new normal. I mean, a lot of, I suppose, high traffic or high footfall businesses may need that, your services as well, as opposed to the front line, I would imagine, going forward potentially.
Yeah, and like we're that's actually kind of what something we say is, like, you know, we target high footfall, high risk public venues, because where there is any public venue, there's anywhere there is high footfall, that's where we play, and that's where we can support. Because where there is high footfall, a lot of, and this has always been the case, where these public venues have to ensure they're delivering a clean or a safe and secure environment. And, you know, a lot of the time we say we believe, as, and I thought this the same, was that cleaning is actually just, you know, as a customer service, but it's actually health and safety. You know, cleaning is to avoid slips, trips and falls, to avoid incidents. So, like, anywhere there is high footfall, those venues naturally need to employ a lot of frontline workers who, like, cleaners, security guards, maintenance, you know. So it's kind of all of those operational roles that you'll find in any high footfall venue are absolutely critical, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's going to be very interesting to see your landscape after this. I'm sure the customer base will probably change pretty rapidly.
I know. Well, here's hoping.
We're gonna have to schedule another podcast with you in like 6 months, because I'm dying to know already.
I was just gonna say, I think what's interesting is when we do kind of come out of this, you'll have that moment where, like, I know personally, when, you know, when the lockdown is lifted a little bit, I'm gonna be very wary of the places I go.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still gonna be hesitant going out. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, run off and go straight into like a swimming pool or something. Like, I'll really need to know that those places are on top of their cleaning operations, that everything is up and running. So, you know, I think there's a good position as well for us to make sure that we're enabling businesses to tell people everything is under control, everything is safe, secure, clean. You know, it's going to be interesting, you know, when we do kind of come out of all of this.
Like, a lot of it is proving it. Like, it might be, it could be done, but it's like, I'm going to want evidence now as a customer, consumer, to show me, you know.
Exactly. You have your audit trail, at a click of the button, you go, here's every single time.
This exactly.
Changed. Yeah, the regulatory environment in a few could change fairly rapidly as well.
Definitely.
It's going to be a very very interesting space in the next 6 to 12 months, I think.
Yeah, I didn't even think of it like that, actually, because I'd be the exact same. I'd be like, I'm not going there.
Right. We're all going to be germaphobes.
So, guys, I suppose to kind of finish up, if in terms of either where we are now or not. It's up to you. But just from your experience with Oversea, what kind of tips would you give for people in terms of their own marketing? So, you know, in terms of developing a startup, in terms of the plan they should put together for themselves, and the marketing strategy they should put together for themselves. Any kind of tips or any kind of learnings you've had from Oversea?
I think that like when I joined, so I joined last July, and that's really where the business was going from startup to real scale up. So they'd kind of built really great tech, really great product, had brought on some really good customers, learnt the market, understood, okay, yeah, this is, we know now who we are, we know what we're trying to do. And that's really then to scale, brought in, like started bringing in sales and marketing. But when I came in, like, I mean, I think the most tempting thing is to, you know, you want to hit the ground running, especially for marketing, you know, you want to show ROI quickly, but I think it's too tempting to like just launch something immediately. I think that's more of a short-term view. And I had to do a lot of education internally on this as well, where I had to say, okay, I know you're all eager to get going, but we need to take a step back to really identify and build the foundation blocks to say, okay, one, who actually are we and why should people care? And in my first week, I sat down with, I think it was like 7 or 8 different people, and a lot of them were there a long time, a lot of different, across different roles in the organization. And every single one of them explained the value completely different, and I could not get my head around it. Couldn't get hit the nail on the head about like, what are we doing here, you know? So if I couldn't understand it, you know, how could a prospect, you know, understand it? So I think for me, it's about going back right to the start. Like, I love Simon Sinek, you know, start with the why. So I think it's like, why should people care, you know, and then working back to how and what you do. So since I started, we did a huge amount of work building that value proposition, looking at our ideal customer profile as well, and really defining where's our sweet spot, who our buyers are, why should they care, again, through asking that question throughout. And I think then once you've got that, you need to like build everything, like building then that lead gen engine, you know, and then you can start then ramping up and building your campaigns, because then everything stems from that, you know. So I think if you don't have that core, I think you're going to fail, or you're never going to stay close to, you know, you might veer off track. And the second thing I would say is like, talk to customers. That's one thing I found difficult, I guess, in the corporate world. I felt I never could get as close to customers, and maybe that was my own, I just didn't, or maybe insecure that I didn't know, you know, felt a bit too intimidating because we were such a massive company. But here in a startup, I think if you're not talking to your customers, again, you're going to veer off track. So I think it's about building that relationship, because everything we have done, we have gotten that insight from our customers. So and being able to bounce stuff off them as well, I think that's absolutely critical. So those would probably be my two things if I was starting in, you know, startup world.
Cool. Cliona, anything from your end?
Yeah, I think, you know, like what Rena was saying, is getting to talk to customers. I think for me, my number one tip for moving into a startup, say from a larger environment, is get to know the sales team really, really well. Like, get to hear what they're hearing on the phones, you know, listen to the kind of pain points that they're hearing from customers as well, and just really listen to what they need. So quite often you might be building a content strategy that you think is spot on, and then the sales guys will say, well, look, I've had an awful lot of this on the phone, so maybe we should speak to that. So I think that's the big thing, is like really gel in closely with your sales team. And then, you know, I think one of the other things as well is really enjoy it. Like, I've never had this much fun in my marketing career, you know, being adaptable, learning 50 new skills. Like, it's a really different machine to when you're in a corporate environment, you're very much kind of pigeonholed into a certain type of role. Whereas with a startup, you need to have like 20 different hats on, and it's exciting. So just really enjoy it, I think, would be one of my big tips.
And that's a really interesting point you make about the sales team. Actually, so I was talking with a client the other day, and just since COVID started, all of a sudden the questions on the phone, just in the industry they're in, all started to change. So just from that, from them being able to communicate with the sales team that way, there's a whole new section of content now for their website, for SEO, for all to get rankings, because all of a sudden the questions have changed. And if they didn't have that close communication with the sales team, they wouldn't have actually known about that. Yeah. So it's a really good point. That's fantastic, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
If people would like to find out a little bit more about Oversea, where is the best place for them to head to?
Yeah, probably the best place is oversea.com, and or you can find myself and Cleona on LinkedIn. But yeah, oversea.com is probably the best place if you want to find out a bit more about Oversea.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Cleona, Rena, thank you so much for joining us today.
Brilliant. Thanks a million.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Hey everyone, Mark from Click here. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you haven't subscribed already, I'd love for you to go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or any of your favorite podcasting platforms. Type in the Digital Marketing Scoop and subscribe. That way you'll get notified anytime we put up a new episode. Thanks again for listening.